Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good evening.
Oh, come on. This doggone thing. Every single time. Come on in, everybody. Come on in, everybody. On every platform. Like the video. Tell me where you're watching from and share. We got to add our IG family. Sometimes this thing does this weird thing and you have to reset the whole thing. But nonetheless, come on in. Like the video. Tell me where you're watching from and share. When you share, people get saved and lives are changed in an amazing way. So come on in and begin to share. We'll have our IG family in just a second. In just a second, we'll have our IG family. But come on in. We got to get TikTok. Let's get TikTok going. Come on in, everybody, everywhere. Speak to me as you come in. Like the video. Tell me where you're watching from and share. Come on, speak to me. Speak to me. Come and talk to me. Come on. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's get this going. Sometimes this happens and you don't know what's going to happen until it happens. All right, come on in, everybody. Let's get IG. Boom, there we go. All right, Southeast Aurora. Aurora, good to see you. Aurora, good to see you. Come on in, everybody, on every platform. Speak to me as you come in. Thank you. Yes, my day has been amazing. It's been amazing. Come on, we're just waiting on IG to come on in. Boom, there we go. Now we're live. Come on in, everybody, on every platform. Speak to me as you come in. Good to see you. TikTok, tap the screen. Make sure that you share. When you share, people get saved. Jersey, good to see you. Over there on Facebook, welcome, everybody. Come on, IG, come on in. Come on in. Come on, let's go. It's Monday night, which means it's time to command your day and command your week with the power of prayer. We get to pray. Prayer is a privilege. It's not a right. Prayer is something that we should always value. We get to go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to go above everybody else's head, and we get to go directly to God. You can never take that privilege lightly. Come on, Atlanta. Good to see you over on Facebook. Let's go. Denver, welcome. Good to see you on IG. Brooklyn, good to see you over there on LinkedIn. Denver, welcome over on Facebook. Shalom, everybody. Come on in, speak to me, and let me know where you are watching from. Alpine, Alabama. Hello. Aurora, good to see you over on Facebook. Denver over on Facebook. Dallas, Texas, good to see you. TikTok. Milwaukee, good to see you. TikTok. Let's go. Augusta, Georgia, welcome on IG. Nashville, Tennessee. I was just ministering there, not this Saturday, but the Saturday prior. Amazing time. It was absolutely awesome. Memphis, Tennessee on YouTube. Welcome. Make sure that you share. Mississippi, Stockton, California, welcome. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Let's go. Aurora, welcome. Good to see you. Cali, welcome, everybody. Prayer is so important. Cleveland, Ohio, good to see you. Hawaii, what part of Hawaii? All right, come on, Aurora. Good to see you on Facebook. Sandy Springs, that's Atlanta. Good to see you on Facebook. Covington, Georgia. Denver, over on YouTube. Virginia Beach, Virginia, over on IG. Washington, D.C. Houston, Texas. Good to see you. Atlanta, over on YouTube. I'm not pronouncing it right. All right, there we go. My mouth is not pronouncing it right. Valdosta, Georgia. Good to see you. Stuart, Florida, welcome. Listen, guys, let me get you to share as you come in. When you share, people get saved. Listen, prayer is going to be powerful tonight, as it always is. We pray for 1 hour, because in Jesus' most defining moment of life, he asked Peter, James, and John, he said, could you not pray with me? Oh, my mouth is not saying it. Oh,
I'm gonna get it before prayer is over. All right, we pray together for 1 hour because Peter, James, and John, I know, I can say it. My mouth is just not saying it. But anyway, Peter, James, and John, Jesus got them to pray with him for 1 hour in his most defining moment. And that prayer gave him strength. Three times during that time, Jesus prayed and he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And the Bible says on the last time he prayed that, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What happened is that in prayer, he got a strength to do what was difficult. And tonight, I need you to just type this in the comments. I'll get strength. Tonight in prayer, you're going to get a strength. You're going to get a strength to do what may be difficult. You're going to get a strength to do what may be frustrating. You're going to get a strength to do what may be challenging. Not only on the third time did he say, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. After he prayed that prayer, pay attention, not only did he get strength, but he got clear sight. Can you type that in the comments? I'll get sight. I'll get sight. He knew exactly what he had to do. And sometimes it's not that we lack courage. We just lack clarity. We do not know what we are supposed to do. We do not know what it is we're supposed to do next. And sometimes you got a lot of energy. Sometimes you got a lot of passion. You've got a lot of zeal. But what happens is that you are not able to operate with clarity. So he got clear sight. He says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What was he saying? He was saying, Lord, I have clear sight on what I'm supposed to do. I have strength. And then the Bible says, after he prays that, then angels come and they begin to minister to him. They begin to serve him. They begin to speak life into him. They begin to equip him and strengthen him and to give him what he needed so that he could succeed. You're going to get strength in prayer. You're going to get sight in prayer. You ready for this last one? You're going to get success in prayer. Drop that in the comments. Success. You're going to get success in prayer tonight. That's accomplishing the desired goal. You're going to get strength. You're going to get sight. You're going to get success. Father, we bless you and we honor you, sir. Thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. We thank you, Lord, that we would not take this time for granted. We thank you that you hear us. Your ear is not too heavy to where you cannot hear. You hear us and you respond. And we bless you and we thank you and we honor you for that tonight, God. We ask that you forgive us for all of our sins tonight, God. Those committed knowingly and unknowingly. Forgive us for our sin, which means to miss the mark. Forgive us for our transgression, which means we've willfully deviated from what we knew to be right. And forgive us tonight, God, for iniquity. This is generational sin that's been passed down and around. Forgive us for perpetuating curses that we were supposed to break. We ask that you forgive us for that tonight. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, God, just like in that 1 hour of prayer that you had with Peter, James, and John, you got strength, you got sight, and you got success. I pray you give us those same ingredients tonight as we pray. Prayer is a two-way communication. It is not a monologue, mono meaning one speaking. It is a dialogue, dia meaning two. It is you responding to us. So as we pray, you will respond. As we pray, you will respond. As we pray, you will respond. And for that, we thank you and we give you glory. Now tonight, God, like Isaiah prayed, give us the tongue of the learned. Let us know exactly what it is that we need to say so that we can see sight, strength, and success. Lord, give us the words to pray tonight. Prayer is our invitation for heaven to interfere, to invade and interrupt the affairs of the earth. And that's what we ask you to do for us tonight, God. We ask that you would interfere with every situation in our lives. And we pray that you would invade every situation in our lives. And we pray that you would interrupt every situation in our lives. We say, have your way, God. We are your handiwork, which means that we are literally a work of art that you are working on. You are designing, that you are creating, and that you are making. And that you are bringing something beautiful. You're bringing something beautiful even out of things that are brutal. There are some things that have become brutiful because they were brutal, but they're also beautiful. Ecclesiastes says that you make all things beautiful in their time, which means you will take something that looks horrible today and you will make it look good tomorrow. You will take a situation that looks like a mess today and you'll turn it into a message tomorrow. You will take something that had us worried today And it'll be the thing that will win him tomorrow. You make all things beautiful in their time. And for that, we say thank you. Now, God, we cast every care upon you tonight because you care for us. Mm. We refuse to be stressed out. We refuse to walk around worried. We refuse to lose sleep. We refuse to overeat. We refuse to undereat. We refuse to be sick. We refuse to be stuck. We refuse to be stagnant. We refuse to be idle. But Father, we are those that will continue to advance. You take us from glory to glory and from faith to faith, from level to level. You never, ever leave us stuck. You never, ever leave us stagnant. So we make a declaration in prayer tonight that we refuse anything less than your best for us. We believe, according to John chapter 2, that you have saved the best of this year until the last of this year. So God, in these last now 34 days that remain in this year, God, we say blow our minds. In these last 34 days, God, that remain in this year, we say, do your biggest miracles. Give us our biggest breakthroughs. Let us see our biggest transformation. Let us see our biggest change. Let us cash our biggest checks. Let us get our biggest deposits. Let us have our biggest praise reports. Let us have our biggest victories. Let us have the very best of this year. We believe that you saved the best for last. The principle of your first miracle in the book of John was that you save the best for last, which means it is setting a precedent that you give everybody else theirs first, but you save ours, which is the best until last. We thank you, God, for what you have not done. Come on, y'all, pray with me. We thank you for what you have not done, because it means that you were saving the best for last. Forgive us for complaining because we didn't see it. Forgive us for being angry because we didn't see it. Forgive us for being grumbling and being negative because we didn't see it. We recognize you are the God that saves the best for last. So we receive your best. Come on. We receive your best over these last 34 days of 2023. It is still, come on, put still in the comments in all caps. It is still a Jubilee year, and these only come around once every 50 years. Jubilee, number one, it means restoration. You will give us things back better than they were before. To restore something doesn't mean that you just put it back the way that it was. When you restore a car, you make it better than it was. Anything, God, that we felt like we lost or we felt like left, we declare that it will be restored, which means it will be better. It will not be what it was. It will be better. Please put that in the comments. It will be better. I pray, God, that those of us that have had to sow in tears, that in the last 34 days of this year, we would reap in joy. Those of us that have had to deal with some pain, that we would reap in promise. Those of us that have had to deal with some challenges, that we would reap in conquering over these last 34 days in Jesus' name. This is still, come on, put it in all caps again. This is still a Jubilee year. And while we're excited about 2024, we recognize there is still more you're going to do in this year. Therefore, it is not just a year of restoration. A Jubilee year is a year of emancipation. There are still some boxes and boundaries and structures and systems and ideologies and mental imprisonments that we've allowed ourselves to be in. And I pray that in these last 34 days, God, give us complete and total emancipation. Let nothing and no one, including ourselves, hold us back. If it's our thinking that's holding us back, change our thinking. If it's our confession that's holding us back, change our confession. If it's our fears that are holding us back, take the fear. If it is the enemy that's holding us back, slap the hand of the enemy. It is opinions that's holding us back. Let us no longer regard the opinions of those that are odious stenches that do not align with the word of the living God. Whatever is keeping us from emancipation, we pray for total and complete emancipation in these last 34 days. This means there will be no boundaries. This means that there will be no limitations. This means that we will not live in cages when we were created to conquer. Whenever you take something great and put it in captivity, it never lives up to its total potential. This is what happened in the movie Free Willy with Keiko the Whale. His dorsal fin began to hump over because he was not created to be captive. This is why your word says that when you died on that cross, that you descended and you held captivity captive, which means you literally took what held us captive and you held it captive, because we're not supposed to be captive. No, we refuse to live in a captive state. We refuse to live in captivity, but we declare total emancipation. I pray, God, tonight for those that are dealing with victim mentalities. We pray freedom from a victim mentality. Those tonight that are dealing with guilt, shame, and abandonment issues, I pray emancipation from those issues. For those that are dealing with people trying to constantly bring their past up and throw it in their faces, I pray, God, tonight that you would literally set us free from those issues. We will be emancipated. We will be emancipated. We speak to anything that's ungodly, that's holding us down, holding us back, keeping us silent, keeping us stagnant, keeping us stuck, keeping us frustrated, keeping us angry, keeping us feeling like we can't do what we can do. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray emancipation. Can I get you to just put that word in the comments? Emancipation. Emancipation, emancipation, emancipation. I want to take a moment right here and give you revelation. But first, do me a favor, share on every platform. TikTok, I need somebody to type text harvest to 55498 so I can pin it. I need somebody to do the same thing over here on IG. Let me just teach on these first two and give you revelation as we're praying tonight about restoration and about emancipation. Let's start with emancipation. Sometimes the only place where you are captive is in your mind. You got to hear me. Sometimes the only place where you're captive is in your mind. I said something to the Lord today, and he said, why can't you? Why can't you? And literally in that moment, I realized the only place I had said that something couldn't be done was in my mind. And I pray for you tonight. I pray for us tonight that the places where there needs to be an emancipation of our thoughts, of our ideologies, of our thought processes and thought patterns, I pray that we would have internal emancipation. I pray that we would have internal emancipation. Let me give it to you like this. John 5, the man that sits by the pool for 38 years. Do me a favor, share whatever platform. When you share, people can say. And I still need somebody to type text harvest over here on IG and TikTok. Text harvest at 55498 so I can pin it. For 38 years, he sat by the pool waiting on the angel to stir the water. And I taught on this a couple series ago. For 38 years, he was waiting on an angel to come do something for him that he could have done for himself. Because when Jesus gets to him, Jesus says to him, he asked him a question. He says, do you want to be well? The man responds, well, sir, I have nobody to put me in the pool. Jesus never addresses that. He goes on and he says, when I'm going, another steps before me and they get in the water before I do. Everybody listen carefully. I talked to this a couple series ago. It wasn't that the man couldn't walk. Can you put this in the comments? He could walk. It was not that the man couldn't walk. The man's issue was not that he was at the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says there were sick people, there were lame people, there were infected people, and there were paralyzed people. This man did not fit into any of those categories. Instead, this man had an infirmity. And an infirmity isn't a handicap, or isn't an issue, rather. It's the handicap your mind creates because of the issue. Let me back it up and say it again. This man, he was not sick. He was not lame. He was not paralyzed. He was not infected. This man had an infirmity. An infirmity is a spirit. It's a mindset. It's a mentality that says you're handicapped because of something, which means you tell yourself you can't do something even though you can do it. I need you to release this in the comments. I can do all things. 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 So watch me, Stephanie. The man could walk the entire time. Jesus never says be healed, because the man never needed a healing. Only thing Jesus did was say, get up, put your bed away. When he says, take up your bed, that literally means get rid of it. He says, get up, get rid of your bed. He says, because you're not going to need to lay down there anymore, and walk. All he did was give him permission to do what he could already do. I pray that tonight in prayer, God give you the permission you need to do what you can already do. I pray that whatever you've been talking yourself out of, we shut the devil down. I pray that whatever you've been telling yourself you cannot do, you shut the devil down. I pray that whatever permission you need, God, give it to us tonight in prayer. I pray that prayer tonight give you permission. I pray that prayer tonight give you permission, because some of you have been waiting. I'm just waiting on a sign. Here's your sign. You have permission. Here's what some of you said today. Lord, if you speak to me, I'm going to do it. Here's him speaking to you, telling you you have permission. Prayer is going to give you permission tonight so that you can do what it is that you can already do. Tasha, the man could walk. He didn't need a healing. The only thing, Elizabeth, that the man needed, watch me, was to realize you can do this. Here's what he told himself. Everybody listen to me carefully, because this is a Jubilee year, and I just want to give you some revelation about emancipation. The only thing that the man's issue was, look at me, he told himself he needed a miracle. And for many of you watching me right now, you told yourself you need a miracle that you do not need. You don't need a miracle. You need boldness. Come on here, God, speak to us. You don't need a miracle. You simply need to bust a move. You don't need a miracle. You simply need to quit being a punk. I rebuke every ounce of punk that's up in you. What do you mean, punk, Bishop? Punk means you pull back. And Hebrews says that God takes no pleasure in those that pull back. He takes no pleasure in those that shrink back. He takes no pleasure in that. That's Hebrews 10 and 38. That's Hebrews 10 and 38. He says, I have no pleasure in those that punk out. I pray that whatever you need the boldness to do, that God give you the boldness to do it. I pray that you be in 100% alignment with his word. Alignment with his word. For many of you, you don't need a miracle. You don't need a miracle. This is why you keep saying, God, when am I going to get it? God is like, what? What are you waiting on? You don't need that. Can you please put that in the comments? I don't need that miracle. I'm not saying you don't need a miracle, but I'm saying you don't need that miracle. You don't need that miracle. Come on here, y'all. You don't need that miracle. I'm not saying you don't need any. I'm just saying the one that you convinced yourself that you do need is not actually one that you need. That's emancipation. Jesus gave that man emancipation after 38 years of sitting by that pool, which means he had to be at least 38 years old. We know he wasn't sitting there from an infant, right? He wouldn't have had that cognitive ability. So the man was probably in his 50s or 60s. I rebuke your age. I rebuke you thinking it's too late for you. I rebuke you think that you missed your moment. I rebuke you thinking, here it is, I heard you, Lord, that you missed your prime. You have not missed your prime, because it is always your time. Psalm says that the favor of the Lord is for a lifetime. His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. And I pray that you recognize that it's always your time. It's always your time. That's Psalm 30 and 5. It's always your time. It is not too late for you. Here it is. It's not too soon for you. It is not too soon for you. Some of you keep saying, you know what? I'll wait until my 30s. Mm-hmm. You better do it in your 20s. I'll wait till my 40s. You better do it in your 30s. It's not too late for you. Here it is. It's not too early for you. You are right on time. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says that if you wait on perfect conditions, you will do nothing. If you wait on perfect conditions, you will do nothing. If you wait on perfect conditions, you will do nothing. So I pray that you would not be waiting on perfect conditions, because if you are waiting on perfect conditions, you will sit in a seat of stagnation waiting on a miracle that you do not need. Excuse me, that's Ecclesiastes 11 and 4. All right, that's emancipation. Say, Lord, I am free. Lord, I am free. There's somebody watching me right now. You keep beating yourself up because your kids keep trying to make you feel guilty for how you parented. And so every time you're with them, they try to make you feel guilty. And you know that you did the best that you could. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but I heard the Lord say, you need to tell yourself, you free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. Come on, say, I'm free. I'm free. There's somebody watching me right now. You literally, you were in a relationship that you were strong in that relationship. But the relationship was toxic. The relationship was abusive. Here's your freedom, is that you've never told yourself that you didn't deserve that. Oh, my God. Who are you? Talk to me tonight. Wave at me. You've never told yourself that you didn't deserve that. So here's your emancipation, is that now dating is difficult for you because you date from the paradigm of you deserve less than what you do. Who am I talking to? I need you to say I'm free right there. Holy Ghost, speak. Come on, prayer. Holy Ghost, speak. Holy Ghost, speak. So you literally love down. You look for pigs and dogs because you don't think that you deserve better than that. Oh, but tonight. Oh, but tonight. God, give us emancipation in our thoughts. There's a man, you're watching me right now, and you literally, you've convinced yourself that you'll be no better than the men you've seen in your bloodline. And I hear the Lord loud and clear saying to you, you are the curse breaker in your bloodline. You literally sat up the other day and you literally had a moment. You had a moment like Elijah, where Elijah says, I'm no better than my kindred. I'm no better than my blood. I'm no better than the other men in my family. You had a moment like that. I hear the Lord saying to say loud and clear to you, here's your emancipation. You are not them. You are not them. Which is why Genesis 12, God says, I never let you fully get around them, be around them, gravitate toward them. That's why you have to reach to them. They don't even reach to you. Who am I? Is that you? I see your hand right there. You have to reach to them. They won't even reach to you because the Holy Ghost has put up, it's almost like this blockade around you. He's got a hedge around you. He won't even let them reach for you. That's why you keep reaching for them. But when you do try to reach, watch me, the Holy Ghost shuts that down because that's not you. That's not you. Come on, let's go. This is still a Jubilee year, and there's 34 days left. Jubilee years only come around once every 50 years. You ready? There's 34 days left. All right, what's the Jubilee year? Restoration, emancipation, celebration. Now, I just gave you revelation on emancipation. Let's go to restoration. Let's go to restoration. In Joel, the scripture says, I'll restore to you the years or the time. I'll restore to you the years or the time that the locusts have taken. And then it begins to list a series of different locusts. Listen carefully. Locusts are a Hebrew idiom, which means they have a dual meaning. They represent bad decisions. They represent bad decisions. Here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that between now and the end of this year, that God would take every bad decision that you have ever made and that he would restore the time of it. What does that mean? It will be as if you never made that bad decision. Is there anybody besides me where you can look back on your life and you can be like, I wouldn't have did that. Had I known then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. Is there anybody, you can be honest, there's some decisions you made that you're like, that was not the best decision to make. Wait, my hand's up first. He says, I will restore to you the time. I will restore to you the years. I will restore to you the time. I will restore to you the years that you wasted. I will restore those to you. Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to read it to you in a couple of different versions. Let's go here. English Standard. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. What does it mean when the Bible says, my great army that I sent among you? In other words, God said, I allowed you to have your own free will and to make your own decisions. So I allowed you to deal with the repercussions and the ramifications of your own decisions. But God says, I'm the same God that I will allow you to get the time back. So it will be as if you never made the decision. So for some of you, like, Bishop, I spent 10 years doing that. It's going to be as if you never did it. That's what your Bible say. Well, Bishop, I spent 20 years in that. It will be as if you never did it. Father, in Jesus' name, we call your word out tonight. from Joel 2 and 25, you said that you would restore the years that the locusts had eaten. So, Father, I pray that in this Jubilee year, which represents restoration, that you would be the God, that you would be the God, that you would be the God that will restore to us the years. You'd restore to us the time. It will be as if we never made the bad decisions in the first place. We hold you to your word. The book of Isaiah says, state your case before me. In other words, when we come to you, God, in prayer, we come to you like it's a courtroom, and we come to you presenting our case with our evidence and citing the statutes that give us a standing for presenting the case to you. This is why when we pray according to your word, because these are the statutes. This is the law that we're quoting before you, are righteous and just judge, so for or so that you would be able to render judgment and a decision in our favor. We ask that you would restore the years. Let it be like we never made the bad decision. Don't, here it is. I hear you, Lord. Don't let us look like we made the bad decision. Don't let us think like we made the bad decision. Don't let us walk like we made the bad decision. Don't let us talk like we made the bad decision. Don't let us process information like we made the bad decision. Don't let us think like we made the bad decision. Restore the years. In Jesus' name we pray. Put a yes, Lord, right there. Come on, TikTok. I still see somebody, and maybe you've done it and I just missed it, guys. So if I missed it because I'm caught up in prayer, I need somebody to type text harvest to 55498 on LinkedIn, or not LinkedIn, over here, TikTok and Instagram. All right, you ready? Let's go. Let's go. All right, here we go. Here's another version. Here's another version. Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to read it, New Living Translation, because there's a nuance, and the nuance introduces another side or another perspective of restoration. It says, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust. And it goes on. Listen. ESV says, I'll give you the years. That's one side of restoration. The NLT, New Living, says, I will give you back what you lost. That's another side of restoration. So it's not just the time, but God says, I'm also going to give you back the terrain. Y'all better pray with me tonight. The terrain. He says, what you lost, I will give you back the terrain. But remember, it will be better than it was before. It will be better than it was before. Father, we ask you not only for the time, but the other side of restoration. Everybody stick with me in prayer. If you want to do your own thing, go do your own thing. But tonight, stick with me in prayer. Let's go. We call back, Father, the terrain that was lost, meaning the steps, the things, the people, the places, the things, the ideas, any noun, the terrain. We call back the terrain that we've lost. And we pray, God, that you would restore the terrain. Thank you. We pray that you would restore the terrain, that you would restore the terrain. You said in your word that not only would you give us the time, but that you'd give us back the terrain that was lost. And for that, we say thank you, which means every noun, person, place, thing, or idea that was forfeited, that was mishandled, that was misused, that was abused, that was not handled right, the opportunities that we foiled, the relationships that we ruined, the situations that we made toxic, you said, sir, that you would restore what we lost. We pray for the time back. And Father, we pray for the terrain back in Jesus' name. Can you put a praise in the comments right there? Put a praise in the comments right there. Let me get this last piece. Let me get this last piece about restoration. All right. I wanted to spend the first half of prayer reminding you that this is still a Jubilee year. This is still a Jubilee year. This is still a Jubilee year. He said, Bishop, but it's late. It's too late. He can't do it. What he hasn't done in 330-some days, he can do in 34. What he has not done in 331, he can do in 34. Did you ever just say it? What he has not done in 331, he can do in 34. All right, let me give you one more of this same verse, okay? So we saw the time. We saw the terrain. Now listen to this one. This one is so good. This is LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible. Then I will pay you back for the years. Shut your mouth. Aramaic Bible says, I will pay you for the years. Look at this. So not only is it the time, not only is it the terrain. You ready for this? Not only is it the time, not only is it the terrain, but look what he says. But I'm going to give you treasure. I'm giving you all T's so that it alliterates, so you remember. Treasure. He said, I'm going to pay you back, watch me, for the years. I will pay you back. Look at me. It was hard, bad decisions. But he's such a good God that he says, I'm going to pay you back for your bad decisions. Okay, I'm gonna pull back. I'm gonna pull back, and I'm gonna give you an opportunity to respond in these comments. All right? He said, because the locusts are a Hebrew idiom for bad decisions that he allowed you to make. He allowed you to go through. He said, if this is what you want to do, do it. This is who you want to marry, marry him. This is where you want to go, go. This is what you want to do, do. But he's so good. He said, I'm going to pay you back for your bad decisions. That's restoration. That's restoration. Father, your word says that you would give us treasure. You would pay us back. You would pay us back even for our own bad decisions. And we pray, God, that we would not only experience the restoration of time, the restoration of terrain, but the restoration of treasure. You said you'd pay us back. We demand over these last 34 days the payback your word promises. The payback your word promises. The payback your word promises. We thank you for it. And we thank you that it is done now in Jesus' name. Everybody just drop an amen in the comments right now. Man, that's good to me. This is so timely because I started watching Making Better Decisions series today. That's so good. This is so good. You know why so many people get depressed and discouraged and have so much anxiety? It's because they feel stuck in a bad decision. And what's crazy is this is a bad decision from years ago. So consequently, you ready? Even though you're in a now, you're stuck in your past, so you never get to your next. Because it's literally like driving your car, but driving it looking through the rearview mirror. You're not even driving your car looking at the windshield, which is much bigger. The future is much bigger than the past. But it's like driving your car and looking through the rearview mirror. This is why so many people get so discouraged and despondent and negative. It's because they are literally, they're fixated, ruminating on a bad decision. And rumination is crazy. Worry is about the future. Rumination is worrying about something that's already happened. And this is where many people live. And when you ruminate, you ruin. But I pray that you would not ruin anything at any time for the rest of your life. God, guide our steps. Let's pray. Guide our decisions. You are the God of Psalm 37:23. You said that you delight in the details of us and that you order and you direct our steps. I pray that you would direct every decision. I pray that you would direct every step. We commit every decision into your hands. We yield to what you desire. We yield to your will in advance. Therefore, we will not vacillate. We will not go back and forth. James chapter 1 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because one day you want this, the next day you want this. One day you're doing this, the next day you're doing this. One day you love God, the next day you don't. One day you're faithful, the next day you're not. I pray that you order our steps You solidify our decisions so that every step we take and every move we make, we recognize that you are ordering our steps. And we will not second guess you. Oh, my God. We will not second guess you. We will not second guess you. We will not second guess you. But we will have confidence in you. Here it is. Even if we don't have confidence in ourselves, we will have confidence in you. You that have begun a good work in us, you shall complete it, and you shall perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And for that, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen right there. Every platform, do me a favor, share wherever you're at. When you share, people get saved. We are knocking at the door of 3,000 decisions so far this year, which is amazing to me. Can somebody give me that number? What's the actual number? I think it's like 28 something. We're knocking at that door. This is still a year of Jubilee. And what is Jubilee? Restoration. We just covered that in prayer. What is Jubilee? Emancipation. We've covered that in prayer. Last thing that Jubilee year is, it's celebration. And celebration means, watch me, there's only one option for us. Let me say it this way. There's only two options for us. Either we win or we win. Those are the only two options. Either we win or we win. I want everybody to listen carefully. Anything that's felt like a loss this year, I need you to look at, thank you, 2881. When you share, people get saved. Thank you so much. When you, listen carefully, when you look at it, I need you to look at it differently. Because there's only two options in a Jubilee year. Either you win or you win. If they with you, you win. If they walk out, you win. If they help you, you win. If they don't help you, you win. If they support you, you win. If they do not support you, you win. You got to hear me. There's the only two options that you have in a Jubilee year. Okay? So if you're looking at something like, man, I really, shut your mouth. That was a win. And I say, shut your mouth with all love, but I mean what I said. Hush. It's a win. Or a win. Okay? If the relationship works, it's a win. You ready for this? If it doesn't work, it's a win. If you hire great people and they work out, that's a win. If you hire and train people and they don't work out, that's a win. Those are only two options. So here's what I want to cover in prayer, this last part of Jubilee, and then we're going to move to one more thing in prayer, and then we're done tonight. Is prayer blessing you so far tonight? If prayer is blessing you, just drop a fire in the comments. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. It says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph, or always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let's stop right there. This is your Bible. He always causes us to triumph. He always causes us to win. Listen carefully. If there's going to be a win, this means there had to be warfare. Wow. We get excited about the win, but what does this mean? There had to be warfare. What's warfare? A series of battles. So in these series of battles you've had, listen carefully, in the series of battles that equal warfare, you always win. Now, let's break this down to a granular level so you can understand how this works on a daily for you, okay? Because each day, you're going to have some battles. Look at me. Where it's going to look like you didn't win that battle. The problem is the war isn't just that battle. Y'all better talk to me. You're going to have some days, some moments, some hours and hours and hours and shrimping off the towers. You're going to have some moments where you're going to be like, this isn't working. This isn't a win. But the problem is that a battle is not the whole war. Warfare is a series of battles, which means it may look like this particular battle didn't go the way that I wanted it to go. Problem is this another battle after this battle? You gotta hear that. It's another battle after this battle, which means when you put all of these battles together, there is only one outcome. We win. Father, we declare victory. We declare we win. We will not let one battle that looks like, feels like, seems like, maybe even factually is what looks like a loss to us. We will not allow one battle to define the war, because warfare is a series of battles. Forgive us, God, for wanting to give up because of one battle, as if that's the only battle in the war. Because when you add up all the wins that we've had in the battles, we're victorious. It's like a fight match. At the end, they're going to add up the points and see who won, unless it's a knockout. So, God, I pray for two things in these last 34 days. Give us some knockout victories over our enemies. Let it be a Buster Douglas special. Let's go. Give us some knockout victories. Give us overwhelming victory. Oh, God. Give us overwhelming victory. That's what Romans 8:37 says. You have a God that gives us overwhelming victory. God, give us overwhelming victory in some areas. But then, God, there are some areas where the victory is going to be added up over time, which means this battle, this one maybe didn't go as good as we wanted. This one didn't go as good as we wanted. Could have did better than that one, but we won this one and this one and this one and this one. So when you add all these battles up, you have caused us to be victorious. God, give us victory over ourselves. Give us victory over any medical issue. Give us victory over any financial issue. Give us victory over any family issue. Give us victory over any career or workplace or work environment issue. Give us victory over every entrepreneurial endeavor. Give us victory over everything we set our hands to. You're the God that says that you would anoint what we set our hands to and that you would cause us to prosper. There's still 34 days left for us to get some more W's, for us to get some more wins. There's still 34 days left. And for that, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, just finish this prayer like this. Just say, win or win. Win or win. W-I-N or W-I-N. Those are your only two options. Those are your only two options. I need y'all to hear this clearly. Because here's where the enemy will try to get you. He gets you so fixated on the battles, you forget it's a war. So fixated on the battles that you forget it's a war. And if you ever study war throughout history, or just look at war in the Bible. Okay, let's go here. Oh, God. Come on, God. Speak, Holy Ghost. Let's go Joshua and Joshua chapter number 7. In Joshua chapter number 7, this is the story of when they go up to fight a battle to take a city called Ai. Now, God had been so good to Joshua and the Hebrews that they were literally knocking out victory after victory after victory after victory. I mean, they were killing the game. They were doing amazing. So when they're getting ready to go fight this battle at Ai, do me a favor, share if you haven't shared. When they're about to fight this battle at Ai, listen to what the Bible says, that Israel had violated the instructions for the set apart things of the Lord. There was this man named Achan. Achan had taken some things that God said, do not take. So they're getting ready to go fight another battle. But remember, a battle or warfare is a sequence of battles. So the enemy will try to get you fixated on the one battle so that you quit because of one loss. So that you throw in the towel because of one loss. So that you say you're not called because of one loss. So that you say you're not able to do it because of one loss. Listen, I can't wait to tell you on the other side of the journey. Like this progress, this project we've been in with this expansion into the Atlanta area, I promise you, I was talking to our vice chairman of our board of directors today. I said, Bishop, I said, this warfare, I said, man, I said, this is a lot. I said, if folks only knew a teaspoon of what it was, they'd say, I don't know, that man keeps fighting through all that to do that. Most people would just say, look, I ain't gonna do it.
I said, Bishop, this is a lot. And he said, yep. He said, but what is God about to do through your obedience? Come on, can you just say yes, Lord, right there? Can you just say yes, Lord, right there? Somebody needed that encouragement. Because you're looking at some of the stuff you're dealing with right now, and you're like, this is a lot. Yep, it is. But what is God about to do through your yes? Come on, let's just go old school Pentecostal for a moment. Can you just tell them yes, Lord, in the comments? Can you just tell them yes, Lord, in the comments? Can you just tell them yes, Lord, in the comments? It's a lot, I know. Yep, it is. I ain't even finna lie to you. I am not even finna lie to you. It's a lot. Yep. But what is he about to do through your obedience? What is he about to do through your life? Your yes is affects so many lives, right? So the enemy wants you to get so fixated on one battle that you forget that it's a war, right? So listen very carefully. In Joshua chapter 7, they're getting ready to go to Ai. They have this sequence. They've been winning. They've been winning every battle. Every battle they've been winning. They go up to Ai. This is supposed to be an easy battle. And this is what really ticks you off. You ready? This is what really ticks you off. How many of you really get frustrated when you're like, this should be simple? Wave at me. Father, don't let us get caught up in our feelings. Don't let us start feeling some type of way because this one should be easy. Like, there are certain things you're like, I can't believe I'm dealing with this. I can't believe this is happening to me. Wave at me if that's been you. I'm going to help you. Good God. Man, we're almost out of time. All right? Here we go. Joshua chapter 7, covering this in prayer. This is supposed to be an easy battle. In fact, they told Joshua, don't even send all the army. It ain't going to take more than 2,000 or 3,000 to attack Ai. Listen, it's so few of them, don't make everybody go up there. So, verse 4, 3,000 warriors ago, go. But they were soundly defeated, the Bible says. The men of Ai chased the Israelites down. They killed 36 men, 2,964. They were paralyzed in fear. The Bible says that their hearts began to melt and they retreated. Joshua cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, what's happening? I'm not used to dealing with these types of losses. I'm not used to dealing with these kind of battles. We've been on a winning streak. Every battle we fought, we've won. We're not used to getting a letter back saying, no, you didn't get what you asked for. Come on, God, preach in this prayer tonight, Holy Ghost. We're not used to getting an email back saying that we're not getting what we asked for. We're not used to that because we've been in a series of victories. We've been in a series of victories. So what the hell and earth is this? What is this? What is this? This should be the easiest of all the things we're dealing with. Speak to us in prayer tonight, God. Speak to us in prayer tonight, God. Watch me. The enemy wants you to get so fixated with one battle. God, don't let us get fixated with one battle that we forget that it's warfare. Don't let us get so focused on one battle that we forget that it is warfare. For some of you, you're like, I'm not used to dealing with this. Like, I'm used to dealing with big things and this, all these little problems. What is this? Watch me. Because if the enemy can wear you out, boom, boom, just wear you out and wear you down. His goal is to get you. Look, if God causes us to always be victorious, then this means the only way the enemy wins is he has to get you to quit. He has to get you to forfeit. That's the only way he wins. That's the only way he wins. He needs you to say, you know what? Here goes my weapons. I'm done. Okay? Let's finish this thing. Man, all right. Praise. 753. Okay, let's go. So Joshua prays to the Lord. He said, look what he says. God, why did you bring us across the Jordan if you're going to let these Amorites kill us? He said, why? Look at me. Lord, you ready for this? I was fine doing what I was doing. Lord, you wanted me to do this. I was fine doing what I was doing. Is there anybody on prayer tonight where you're like, God, I was good with things the way they were. I didn't ask for this. This is your idea. Oh my God, I'm praying and preaching and talking to myself. This is your idea.
I didn't do this. You did this. You did this. You did this. You did this. He says, why did you bring us over this Jordan if you were going to let these Amorites kill us? We were content on the other side. He says, Lord, what can I now say when Israel has fled from its enemies? He says, when the Canaanites and the other people hear about it, they're going to surround us. They're going to wipe our name off the earth. And what shall happen to the honor of your great name? Pay attention to what Joshua did. We're about to cover this in prayer. Joshua overreacted because one battle didn't go the way he wanted. I want you to pay attention. They look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. They sent 3,000 soldiers. 36 were slain. Look at me. That was, look at me, that was not a failure. That was just simply your opportunity to do it again. I'm going to back it up and say it again, prayer. Father, don't let us overreact to what is not a failure. If all you lost was 36 soldiers and you sent 3,000, that was not as big of a loss as you think. You are overreacting. Father, I rebuke our overreaction tonight. Don't, oh God, don't let us overreact. Don't let us overreact. See, what happens is when you're used to winning, anything that looks like a loss, now you're overreacting. You become a drama king and a drama queen. Look at what Joshua did. Joshua, pay attention. Joshua, listen carefully. They're used to winning. They lose this one battle, according to him, because 3,000 soldiers go out. This is supposed to be an easy battle. 3,000 soldiers go out. 36 of them are slain by the men of Ai, and they retreat. Israel retreats. Only 36 men died. Now, listen, I'm not saying that those 36 lives weren't precious, but I'm saying in warfare, if all you lost was 36, what you're overreacting. I don't know where these balloons come from. You're overreacting. Some of you, watch me. All you got was a $200 bill. You're overreacting. You're overreacting. You're overreacting. Come on. I need you to put this in the comments. I will not overreact. 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 I see that prayer request. Somebody said their son was just in a car accident. Father, I pray that all is well. I pray that all is well. Right there on Facebook, all is well. Literally, while we're praying about not overreacting, you send that message. Do not overreact. All is well. Do not overreact. All is well. All is well. Give me a praise report tonight about that in Jesus' name. All is well. All is well. Let's go. Joshua overreacts. And he starts saying, the Canaanites are going to come get him. He's like, this is the end. Y'all remember Sanford and Son, Red Fox? Joshua's having a Red Fox moment. He's like, this is the big one. 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 And God is like, stop. This is warfare. This is one battle. You didn't even lose. Y'all retreated. Only 36 men out of 3,000 perished. And I bet you, watch me, if we were to go study who those 36 were, I bet you we'd find that there was something deeper going on anyhow, that those 36 needed to be cut from the army anyhow. But we ain't going to do that tonight in prayer. Let's go. What happens? The Lord says, get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? He says, Israel sinned and broke my covenant. He said, there's sin in the camp. He says, go find who stole the things. Get rid of them and go back to Ai. And when you go back to Ai in Joshua chapter 8, they go back to Ai and the Bible says they defeat them. They defeat them swiftly. They defeat them swiftly. Father, my God, Jesus, help us tonight. Do not let us overreact. Do not allow us to let one battle define the war. Because in the very next chapter, chapter 8, a new beginning, in the very next chapter, what they felt like was a failure in chapter 7 was a swift victory in chapter 8. And I pray over these last 34 days, swift victories. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Here it is, guys. I wanted to cover some other things in prayer tonight, but the Lord kept us on Jubilee, and that's where we're at. We're out of time. Here's how I want to end prayer tonight. Number one, if you haven't shared, make sure that you share on every platform. Can you do that? Number two, I want you to drop your prayer requests for yourself and requests that you have to pray for somebody else. I want you to drop both of those in the comments real quick. But drop both of those in the comments real quick. Three types of prayer. Pray, which means to ask. This is what you do for yourself. Number two, supplication. This is when you pray for another believer. And then number three, we're going to do this in just a second. Intercession, which is when you pray for an unbeliever. John chapter 9 says the only prayer that is heard for an unbeliever is the prayer of salvation. I want you to drop your prayer requests and your prayers of supplication for another Christian. Would you drop those in the comments real quick? Father, I pray over every single prayer request that's being released in the comments right now. And I pray, God, that every single prayer request, that it would become and it would be a praise report. I pray, God, that you would meet them exactly where they are, that you give them exactly what they need, that you would make everything crystal clear, that you would make everything in such a way, God, that they would not doubt, that they would not move with any anxiety, they'd not move with any fear, they'd not move with any lack of clarity, but that every single prayer request tonight, God, it would become a praise report. I pray, God, that you do supernatural things. I pray, God, that you literally give us these last 34 days. Let these be the best days of this year. I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke every lie of the enemy. I rebuke every taunt of the enemy. I rebuke every tormenting, terrorizing ideology he tries to introduce, just like he did to Joshua. He tried to make Joshua think that this one battle was going to be the end of the Hebrews. It's not. This is not your end. It's not the end of your life. It's not the end of your business. It's not the end of your family. It's not the end of your life. I rebuke suicidal thoughts. For somebody on TikTok, I rebuke your fear of premature death. I know that your mother died at 57, but you will not. Who is that? Who is that? You will not. Who is that? You will not. I pray that the enemy would not torment you and that he would not cause you to overreact. I pray that according to scripture, that the scripture says by patience, you would possess your soul, which means that you would get control of your soul. I pray that your mind, thoughts, will, and emotions would not control you, but that you would have control of them. And for that, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Come on, everybody say amen right there. Last thing I want to do in terms of prayer. You know somebody that's not saved? You know somebody that needs to give their lives to the Lord or recommit themselves to him? Would you just drop their initials in the comments real fast? Father, your word says that it is your will that all men might be saved. You died for everybody. Every race, every creed, every background, every ethnicity, every pedigree, every educational prowess, every hood, every neighborhood, every suburb, every urban center, every rural area, you died for everybody. You died for people with gold teeth, platinum teeth, no teeth, white teeth, yellow teeth, real hair, fake hair, no hair. You died for everybody. So I pray, God, that every set of initials or names that are being released in these comments, you draw them unto yourself. We shut the enemy down from lying to them, making them think you're not real, making them think that there's another way to get to you. You said that there is no way except through you. And Father, I pray that whatever needs to happen to introduce them to you, do it, God. If it's a relationship that needs to change, do it, God. If it's a friendship that needs to change, do it, God. We pray for salvation for these names now. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen right there. Last two things, guys. The prayer bless you. You can sow into it tonight. Here's what I want us to sow from Psalm 37:23. I want to really pray because we talked about the last 34 days of this year and it being the best of this year. And Psalm 37:23, one of my favorite scriptures, it says very clearly, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every details of their lives. Your steps are going to be divinely ordered. And that's our seed tonight, 3723, for Psalm 3723. If you want to do more than that, you can sow more than that. You say, Bishop, I want to do 372. Do it. I want to do 3,723. You do that. But that's our seed tonight. We're going to sow and we're going to seal prayer tonight. And here's what we're going to say. Steal. That's the name of the seed. S-T-I-L-L. Because it's still a Jubilee year. And I just believe that the rest of this year is going to be the best of this year. That is my belief. And whatever the enemy's thrown at you, I just need you to know it's going to be a win for you. Don't let that revelation about the battle with Joshua is so good to me. Because just to put in context how Joshua was overreacting in that moment to where he's like, they're going to wipe him off the face of the planet. Joshua, stop. It was 36 guys. Okay, for somebody like, you don't have any money. It was $50. Stop. You're about to make millions. Come on here. Oh my God. Somebody said something negative to me online. That's one weirdo. You got way more people who love you than that one weirdo. You got to hear me. Do not overreact. All right? So that's our seed, Psalm 37 and 23. Here's what we're going to do. How can you sow? You can use the Cash App. Somebody, Ashley and family, is asking somebody to sow for her over on TikTok. If you're going to sow for Ashley over here, if you want to sow for her, if you want to put that seed in the ground for her, just say, I got it. Put that in the comments. But you can use Cash App. $ Bishop Foreman with the number 2. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Givelify, all of that's available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. hello@harvestchurch.church. And then you can also just go to harvestchurch.church and you can see all of the different giving methods there. Text to give, that's the way I used to give, is on there to walk you through all of that. But again, Cash App, $ Bishop Foreman with the number 2. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Givelify, all that's available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. Last thing I want to do, and certainly not least, I'll give you the giving methods again in a moment because people always ask for them again, so I'll give them to you again. But I want to make sure we do this. If you're on prayer tonight and you're not a Christian, tonight's your night. Secondly, if you've given your life to the Lord and you've not been faithful, tonight's your night to come back to the Lord. And if you're like Bishop Foreman, I don't know where things stand with God, but I pray that tonight be your night you come back to God. Wherever you're at, you hear me, no guilt, no condemnation, no shame. Tonight's your night. On the count of 3, you're going to do the hand with the emoji that says me. If you're already saved, if you're already a Christian, I don't need you to hop off with the live. This is when I need you the most. I've just led you through over an hour of prayer. Stick with me for just a couple of more minutes. And can you begin to pray that people would respond, that people would come to the Lord, scales would fall off our eyes and ears, and people would get saved tonight? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure you do that hand with the emoji or you say it's me. No guilt. No condemnation, no shame. Don't walk with your head down. Don't think, well, Bishop Foreman, you don't know the sins I've made. Guess what? I don't have to know. There's 2 right there. Well, Bishop Foreman, you don't know how I've screwed up. I don't have to know. You want to be sure? I got you. There's 3. Well, Bishop Foreman, I'm still struggling with some stuff. Guess what? Guess what? Jesus accepts you with your struggles. There's 4. With your struggles. I see you on YouTube recommitting. There's 5. Hear me clearly. Hear me clearly. You don't get your life right to come to God. You come to God and God is going to help you get your life together. You got to hear that. That there's 6. That's like saying, I'm going to get in shape before I go to the gym. What? That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. And I've heard people say that. I'm not in good enough shape to go to the gym. If you don't hush, do that hand with the emoji or say it's me. If you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord or be sure. That's like saying, I'm going to get my hair done before I go to the barbershop. What? That's like a lady said, I'm going to get my hair done before I go to my hairdresser. That doesn't even make any sense. That's the same way it is when you say, God, let me get myself together, then I'm going to come to God. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It is a trick of the enemy to get you to put off what you need to do today because tomorrow is not promised. There's 6. There's at least 1 more of you. You need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure, wherever you're at, you do that hand wave emoji, or you say, it's me. One of you may be watching and be like, Bishop, you know what? This between me and God. I have to do this in front of y'all. Actually, Jesus said that if you deny him in front of people, that he would deny you. And Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. That's Matthew 10 and 33. There's 7. If I was you, I would not play with this, because this is eternity. This is eternity. Mr. Fowler, what if none of this stuff is true? What if the Bible's not right? Worst case scenario, you learn some great principles to live a principled, disciplined, successful life. Worst case scenario. But I can tell you this, even if I didn't have a Bible to read that would teach me God, watch me. I can look at my life and you can't tell me there isn't a God. You can't tell me that he's not real. I would say wave your hand, but don't wave your hand because we still count decisions. There's nine. You can't convince me of nothing. You can't show me no videos. You can't show me no TikTok. You can't show me nothing that can make me think different. Because I've watched him. I don't need to read about miracles because I am one. You put that in the comments, I am a miracle. Everybody, pray this prayer for me. Was that nine that have come to the Lord tonight? Praise God for the nine. Everybody pray this for me. Say, Father, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your love for me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and my Savior. Give me the grace to be a faithful Christian from this day forward. If I fail or if I fall, give me the grace to get right back up again. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, you just prayed that prayer for the first time, recommitted yourself to the Lord. You're one of the nine, or maybe you were driving and you couldn't respond, or you're watching the replay and we're not seeing your live response. Guess what? Heaven sees your response. And I want you to text Harvest to 55498. Why? We want to get a message into your hand called What Next. It's going to literally teach you what to do now that you've given your life to the Lord. 90% of Christians fall away within 2 years. You know why? They don't know what to do next. So let me walk you through what to do next. All you got to do is shoot that text, enter the option for salvation, and it's going to automatically come to you. All right. Again, as promised, the ways to give our seed tonight, 3723 for Psalm 3723. The name of the seed is STILL, STILL, because it's still a Jubilee year. There's 34 days left. God saved the best of this year into the last of this year. I believe that in my bones. I promise you I do. I believe, all right? And I know that you do too. And we're going to see God do some amazing things. Prayer was so powerful tonight. Go back, watch the replay. We're about 11 minutes over, so I want to wrap it up. To sow, you can use the Cash App, $ Bishop Fulmer with the number 2 at the end, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Givelify, all that's available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. If you want to sow more than 3723, you can definitely do that. If you want to use text to give, that's on our website at harvestchurch.church. You text the amount to the phone number 84321. Tap the link, enter Harvest Church. And when you, I normally have a V ring on. I don't have a V ring on today. But when you see the V in Harvest, RV, when you see RV, that's where you want to be. All right. Love you guys. Have an amazing night. I'll see you tomorrow for our pop-up. This is what time you going live. Got to have an app so you know what time I'm going to be going live for the pop-up. All right. And we'll do that tomorrow. Love you guys. Have an amazing night. Shalom. Speak a Jubilee year. Woo! Good God. That's good to me. Still, Jubilee year. Last but not least,
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.